ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nosebleeds, WFUV's MLB podcast. I'm Alex Diaz, and I'm joined alongside Anthony Smith and Austin Ashutino. We've got quite a few things to talk about. We'll start out with the Yankees, then an AL East focus talk. After that, we'll take a peek at the Mets, and from there, we'll head over to the Central and talk about Tarik Skubal before ending the show looking at the competitive NL Central. But before we get into all of that, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good so far. Well, late, hard to wake up today, but we're here.
Yeah, it was very hard to wake up today and, you know, just getting my car to drive down here. But, you know, we're here nonetheless. Got only one final left. It's also Friday, too, but it doesn't feel like a Friday. But, you know.
Well, we'll jump right into things by talking about what I think we probably want to talk about the most. We'll start with the Yankees. There's a lot going on over there. They'll head to Milwaukee this weekend. With some new players, Carlos Rodon will make his season debut for the Yankees after an elbow injury. He'll get the start on Sunday. After Jason Dominguez crashed into the left field wall yesterday, the Yankees made the decision after the game to bring up their highly touted prospect, Spencer Jones. This right now is a team that's a bit beaten up from the injury standpoint, but I'll send it to you guys first. What's your thoughts on this team right now, and looking forward, where do they go from here?
I think it's the team is actually in, you could say that it's they're in a bad spot because of the injuries, but it also gives the Yankees a chance to look at the young prospects, look at who is a potential trade piece, and also, like, seeing what you have in the outfield, it could change a team's future, like, for the better. Like, Spencer Jones, I'm really excited to watch him, honestly, because when you look at his stats and his batting average OPS, it's all, like, it's sky high, except he strikes out a lot. And if he can fix that, he could honestly be, like, when you compare him, this is a horrible comparison, but when you compare him to Aaron Judge, like, when they both got called up, they both had really similar stats. So I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Judge or anything, but I think he's a lot of potential if he could fix his strikeouts and, like, if he makes contact with the ball, it's nuked. So,
yeah, I think Spencer Jones almost is like a mini Aaron Judge in a sense, but honestly, we don't even need a high average from him. If he could just hit some home runs, that would be good. It's kind of how Aaron Judge started off his career. He didn't have a high average, but also this Yankee team has left an impression this year specifically. Like, they're not messing around. They're calling up guys, they're DFAing guys, they're bringing up Spencer Jones, just trying to see what pieces they have, both in the minors and in the major leagues as well. So it looks like this Yankee team has kind of come into 2026 with a different mindset in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially from a pitching standpoint, they've kind of shown that they have what it takes. Like I said, Carlos Rodon coming back this weekend. Garrett Cole will probably be 2-3 more starts in the minors before it comes up. So you're looking at probably about Memorial Day weekend around then, give or take. The Yankees from a pitching standpoint, I think, are fine. It's the bullpen right now that you have to be a little bit concerned about, just considering how much they've been used the past few days. You have to hope that you get length from Max Fried tonight, length from Cam Slutler tomorrow. I don't see Carlos Rodon going 7 on Sunday. I've seen quite a few people who've said it. I don't see it happening, just considering coming back from an elbow injury. But what do you guys think about the pitching standpoint right now?
I think the starting pitching has been great. Like, Will Warren has really stepped up, and mm-hmm. Ryan Weathers, was a great addition. And I feel like every year it's always the same conversation about the bullpen.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where it just gets kind of annoying. But I think this year, considering how good the Yankees look, I think instead of what they do every year and like get like little pieces for the bullpen, I think they should get a real ace for their bullpen and really commit to it and like actually show that this could be the year. Because the bullpen always falls apart. It's inevitable in the postseason. So if they can fix that, I mean, and the bats fall apart too, but that always happens. So
I think with this Yankees pitching rotation, you kind of see the benefits of running it back with Will Warren and the fact that he's been such a good starter for this Yankee team, despite him being like a number 4 or number 5 starter. And in the end, you always need more bullpen help. So I think that's something they're going to eye at the trade deadline, just try and get as many pieces as they can. And many guys that, you know, could benefit you in different matchups, whether it's a left-handed pitcher or a right-handed pitcher. And I was going to ask you guys, I mean, when Garrett Cole comes back in about a month, I mean, do you guys think he comes back to that number one spot, or maybe he slides down in the rotation behind Fried and Schlitter because they've had such amazing seasons so far?
Yeah, I think it'll come down to just where he's at rotation-wise, what day makes the most sense. to bring him back in. I don't think you can see Garrett Cole being better than Max Fried has been so far this season. Obviously, I'd love to see him pitch as well as Max Fried has been. I just don't think it will happen. I could see him maybe being a 3-4, at least right now. It'll be interesting to see what they do come postseason, because you're going to want somebody, you know, with the experience of Garrett Cole throwing every 3 days, every 4 days for you when it comes down the stretch.
Yeah, and I think once... So, yeah, I think he's going to be a 3. And also, what's good about this is once also Rodon comes back, that also should slot Weathers down probably into the bullpen unless they need five starting pitchers. So that kind of solves the bullpen issue. Not really, but you get an extra body in there, so.
For sure. I think we'll transition a little bit, still staying a bit with the Yankees. I think we need to talk about the AL East as a whole. The Yankees and Rays, two of the four teams above 500 in the AL right now. That's alongside the Cleveland Guardians and then the Athletics. The AL East preseason was predicted to be one of the most competitive divisions. Right now, I think it's competitive, just not in maybe the way we might have seen it playing out. I've just got a couple questions to throw out there. The Rays are right there at 25-12 right after the Yankees. Is Tampa for real this year? Is this their annual, like, play really well in the first half and then kind of fall off in the second? And then a little bit of the other three teams there, Baltimore, Toronto, and Boston, are all kind of bunched between 16 and 17 wins. Which of these three teams do you think has the best shot at a wild card, and what do they each kind of need to do to get there?
I think Tampa is a good team. I do think a little bit is from luck, because you've seen a lot of things happen to them, like wild pitches or like just errors from the other team, which has inflated their record kind of. But I still think they're a good team. They have great players. Junior Caminero, he's a great hitter. Chandler Simpson. But yeah, no other teams look too hot. I mean, the Blue Jays can very easily get hot. We saw that last year. So I think it all comes down to just who has a nice summer, I think. But
yeah. I think Tampa Bay is a very scrappy team. They're not really a big home run hitting team besides Junior Caminero. So they kind of have that slugger in the top of their lineup. But besides that, they have a lot of guys that put the ball in play, and they have great pitching as well. Shane McClanahan has had a really nice season, and I think they could continue this momentum, but then again, it's a very long season, and we've seen a team like the Toronto Blue Jays last year. They went from being really bad to really good, so I think I could definitely see them sliding into a wild card spot. I don't know much about Boston. I feel like they've had too much struggles, and they're kind of just mentally not in the game right now for them to try and climb the ranks up, but I mean, baseball is unpredictable.
Yeah, Boston to me kind of feels a little bit of a lost cause. Like, I think, I don't know what's happening over there, but a lot's been going wrong. Baltimore, I think, is a team, honestly, that could bounce back. They have the players to do so. We have the veteran leadership in Pete Alonso now. He's been coming alive recently, so I think Baltimore could be in it. I think the AL East always kind of comes down to who defeats the most AL East opponents, and that's, for the Yankees, seemingly never an easy task. This year, they might have had a little bit better of a chance. They lost those games to the Rays, though, so that was a bit of a shock. But sometimes losses happen, which is hard to accept as a Yankees fan. But continuing to talk about losses, we have to go talk about the New York Mets. We just have to talk about it on this podcast. They've had a rough go of things. To me, this team is just very confusing to watch. The offense has kind of been the core of the issue. Pitching has been as well. But Francisco Lindor and Bo Bichette got off to very slow starts. Juan Soto and Jorge Polanco were both on the IL at the start. Soto's back now. Lindor's on the IL. So the question I always have with this team is the talent still there to make a run, or has this hole that they've been digging themselves into too deep? And then on the other hand, if the other side of things, David Stern has said publicly that Carlos Mendoza's managerial seat is secure. But if the losses keep piling up, how long before that changes? And do you guys think Mendoza is the right guy for this job?
I don't really think it's his fault. I mean, it's the players that he's given. But again, somebody has to go if the team's not winning. So I think he's kind of the guy you can just blame it on. But also, with the Mets record, I mean, they have the good players when you look at the names. But I think what they killed in the offseason, what they ruined, was the chemistry of the team. Like, everybody worked together last year. Now it's kind of just like everybody, they feel kind of separate.
Yeah.
Like when Brandon Nimmo left, that kind of, he was like a Met. Like, you know him as a Met. So I think the chemistry took a big hit in the offseason, and now they're reaping the consequences.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the Mets took a really big gamble at the beginning of the year. They signed all these new players, traded for all these new players, but like, they don't like have the team chemistry, as you just mentioned, Austin. I mean, there's a lot of talented players here on this roster, but I think Mendoza's just gonna get thrown under the bus, because this team really just can't play together despite having so much talent on this team. And then after that rough start, they kind of got into their own heads. And it's going to be a struggle going to try and play 162 with the start that they've had.
Yeah, I think you've kind of lost the heart of this team. And I think something that made the Mets so exciting to people last year and the year before that is that there was an identity to them. And they were very much this team that all played together and they wanted to win together. And this team right now doesn't feel like that. It just feels like a bunch of individual guys on the same baseball team. But we'll see what happens in the NL East. I mean, the Mets obviously are hit by injuries. Every team is. But the Mets a little bit more so right now than everyone else. Speaking of injuries, Tarek Skubal underwent surgery earlier this week to remove loose bodies from his elbow. That makes four of Detroit's starters on the IL, joining Casey Mize, Justin Verlander, and Reese Olson. Olson will be out for the entire season. This was supposed to be one of the best rotations in baseball. Now it's kind of just depleted. I'm not really sure how a team like this is supposed to compete in the AL Central. They were living off their pitching. I wonder, how does this impact the Tigers currently? And then a look more into the future, like, how does this affect his free agency and the free agent market come fall?
I mean, the Tigers already weren't, they were a good team. They weren't that, the whole, the entirety of the AL actually was just kind of weak.
But yeah.
I think it is going to take a huge toll on them. I mean, they're 18-20 now. And it's just going to get worse. I feel like this year is kind of, I don't want to already say lost cause, but like, yeah. The pitching was always their strength. So, and then for his free agency next year, I don't think it's going to matter that much. When a team sees Tarek Skubal, they're going to throw a whole bag at him. So I think he'll be fine next year, money-wise.
I think with this Tigers team, it's really going to test their offense going forward rather than their pitching. So if their offense could step up, you could see them maybe sliding back to the top of the Central. But the thing with the AL Central is it's wide open. I mean, only one team is above 500. It was Cleveland, as you mentioned. And they're 20-19, so I think just the fact that they're in a little bit of an easier division or a struggling division, that the Tigers still have this sense of hope going forward and in the March to October. And as for Tarek Skubal, I think you can see maybe his contract going down just a little bit, but I mean, he's still Tarek Skubal. He's still a really good left-handed pitcher. I think teams are still going to be trying to sign him and going to be very aggressive in pursuing him come the offseason.
I've definitely seen quite a few people that have kind of looked at the fact that, like, loose bodies in the elbow can sometimes signal, like, more underlying ligament damage. So, like, questioning, is Tommy John surgery something that Tarek Skubal could need down the road? So it'll be interesting to see, like you kind of said, what teams jump in, like, really pursue him hard, and which teams are kind of like, okay, we'll sit back a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see, because I think Skubal was probably expected to get at least $400 million, I think, might be a record for a pitcher, but I think that that's something that he could reach, but it'll be interesting to see if he doesn't get that and if it comes down, how that affects the rest of the free agent market, any other guys that are looking to get signed. We'll move on over, stay in the Central, actually. We have to talk about the NL Central. That team, that division's been an absolute bloodbath. It's kind of been a big back and forth. It's been a gauntlet. The Cubs are in first at 26-12, but last season they grabbed first place on April 4th and held it for 93 days before falling 9 games behind the Brewers by late July. Chicago has a loaded NL Central schedule this month, the Reds, then the Brewers, then 4 games at Pittsburgh, and then a Cardinals series to close May. So I think this is kind of their time to test the waters, kind of see where they stand in terms of this division. The Pirates are 21-17. I think they're legitimately in this thing. Paul Skenes has been dominant, and then Connor Griffin hit his first career home run recently, so really something to look out for. Pittsburgh has been pretty exciting to watch this year. The Brewers, 19-16, typically that would kind of put them comfortably in first, except that they're in this very competitive division this year. They did lose Freddy Peralta to the Mets in the offseason and are kind of doing with a lot of significant roster turnover, so that's something to watch out for there. And then the Cardinals are 22-15, surprising to me given the fact that they got rid of Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, and Brendan Donovan over the offseason, so kind of clear indications that this was a rebuild. And then Cincinnati is 20-18. The biggest storyline there is that they were without Hunter Green to begin the season. If he comes back healthy, this rotation kind of goes from decent to literally legitimate, so that could kind of determine whether or not they're October bound. What do you think we need to see from each of these teams in order to come out on top, and what's maybe your early May prediction for this division?
I think for each of these teams, I mean, the Cubs, they just have to keep doing what they're doing, I think. They're a very talented team. If PCA can start swinging the bat well, then they're really lethal. The Cardinals, I think they're a good team. I don't know how great they can be, if they can be a real first place caliber powerhouse team. But again, I think if they just continue what's going on, keep swinging, continue swinging well, then they could be great. And the Pirates, I'm really rooting for them because, I mean, Paul Skenes is good and Ben Ashcraft is all right, but when their hitters are really, they're really interesting to watch because O'Neill Cruz, he's a phenomenal hitter. He just can't play outfield. And Connor Griffin is also really good. So I think the Pirates have a bright future, and I think they have more room to get hot. So, and then finally with the Brewers and Reds, the Brewers, I'm kind of torn on them because their pitching is good and their hitting is, I mean, they like Bryce Terang, right? Their hitting, I would say, maybe is above average. So, I don't know. There's like room to work for with them. And the Reds, they're the, I mean, Ellie's good to watch. I feel like that's all I really know about the Reds, to be honest. Ellie's fun to watch, and that's all I got. So, if he can continue, I guess, carrying the team, that'll be good. But they're 2-8 in their last 10, so.
Yeah, this has been a really interesting division to watch throughout this entire season because I don't know if we expected it to be as competitive as it is right now, and every team is over 500, which is fascinating considering that the AL has, like, no teams over 500, especially that St. Louis is 22-15 second in the division because they kind of started off towards the bottom, not a lot of expectations for this team, and the Reds as well, I mean, but they've kind of led or have been led by Chase Burns and Ellie De La Cruz, both having phenomenal seasons. Chase Burns on the pitching side, Ellie De La Cruz both hitting and fielding. The Cubs, obviously 26-12, one of the best teams in baseball. I think if they just continue to ride this hot streak that they're on right now, currently on a 9-game winning streak, if they continue to just keep going with that, go 162 with it, I think they'll be just fine. And the Brewers at 19-16, kind of surprising because it feels like the Brewers are always good, but obviously dealing with a lot of moving pieces. But I think if they can just follow along with Bryce Terang, who's had a really incredible season, and some of those young guys that they have, I think they'll be just fine and just kind of go with the young talent going forward. And the Pirates is definitely one of my picks to try and win the Central because any team with Paul Skenes is going to be exciting. But the fact that they have a lot of younger talent that they're trying and they're trying to see what kind of pieces they have, and O'Neill Cruz is obviously really good. I think this Pirates team is an electric team, and it would definitely be fun to see in October. But ultimately, I think the Cubs are too good right now, and I think once they even have some of these guys start hitting a little bit more, I think the Cubs are going to be tough to beat in the Central.
Yeah, I completely agree. The Cubs, one of the teams with the three best records in baseball alongside Yankees and the Braves. It's been fun to watch them. They've walked off quite a few games at Wrigley lately. They won their eighth consecutive game on May 6th with their third straight walk-off against the Reds. That's been really something exciting to see. And then with the Cubs specifically, Alex Bregman has played in every game for them since the start of this season. He has kind of said he wants to be that guy. He's been average statistically, but I think him being there and having that impact on the team has been huge for them. If he can kind of be the player that he was in Boston, at least offensively, and if Shota Umaga can stay healthy for the Cubs, I think that this could be a legitimate World Series contender. This might be early to say, but I think that they can definitely be somebody that is very competitive down the stretch. The Cardinals, to me, has been a surprise. I don't think anybody saw them playing as well as they have, getting rid of a lot of veterans. They have a top prospect in J.J. Weatherholt. He's kind of brought them back into the mix. Jordan Walker's been huge for them as well. This is a very young team, so whether they can continue to play this way down the stretch is questionable. Whether they can hold their own in the playoffs, also questionable. But definitely a team that has been exciting to watch, will continue to be exciting to watch. The Pirates, you guys have kind of said it. Paul Skenes, it's his team over there. That's who everybody's there to watch. I got to be honest, I went to a Pirates game a couple years ago, and the energy there was great. It was a great place to go watch a game, but they didn't win games. Now that they're winning games, and now that you have youth excitement, and you have people there that are playing really well, has been great for Pittsburgh. I have friends there that say it's much better to be there now when they're winning games. From Cincinnati, they kind of snuck into the playoffs last year, and they've been competitive again this year. They did get walked off by the Cubs three straight times, but that's fine. They do have Sal Stewart, who's their rookie there. He's tied for the NL lead with 8 home runs and tied for the MLB lead with 21 RBIs. Of course, Ellie De La Cruz is electric, as always. The Reds is a little concerning. Their run differential is -3, so regression is possible. I don't expect this team to be the best down the stretch. I think some things are going to collapse. But if Hunter Green could come back and could come back and play well, they're definitely a team that down the stretch we could see still being in it. Milwaukee has kind of this year been the quiet contender. In the past, I feel like they're always that team that you see on top of the NL Central, you see on top of the NL. They have a .571 winning percentage, which is only good for last place, so that's kind of crazy to see. But they keep doing what they always do. They're pitching well, they're playing sound defense, they're finding production in unexpected places. It's interesting to see that they did give away Freddie Peralta, because I think that was somebody that might have played a role in this team being better this year, but that's still nonetheless, as long as they have pitching depth and they play the way they do play, which is always about kind of run prevention in my opinion, they'll definitely be in the race all summer. But all of these teams have winning records, and with the expanded playoffs and this division's depth, I feel like we could see an NL Central heavy postseason this year. But yeah, the NL Central is going to be one to watch, I think, this season, especially with the AL not being super competitive. I think you could probably see an NL team coming out on top.
Yeah, I think obviously everybody's going to look out for the Dodgers and the Padres. I think those are two of the best teams in baseball right now, and it feels like they always are. Such talented rosters on both teams, and I feel like everyone overlooks the Padres. I mean, because they're kind of right now the little brothers to the Dodgers, but they're definitely a team to watch come October. They have a lot of players that perform in the postseason, but the NL Central is going to be a division to look out for, because I feel like a lot of teams can come out of that division and sneak into the postseason, considering that the rest of the NL West, besides the Dodgers and the Padres, every team sits below 500, and then besides the Braves in the East, everyone also sits below 500. So the NL Central, it's going to be a dogfight just going forward to see which teams can sneak their way into the postseason and have a shot of making a run.
It'll be interesting to see for sure. I'd hate to see one of them honestly like collapse. Like, I want this to be a race that happens all the way to the end. I think we've seen it before where you have a competitive division in the beginning and then everything starts to like fall apart. I hope this doesn't happen in this case, because it'll definitely be an exciting summer of the NL Central. Definitely one that we'll probably talk about again on here. But that will just about do it for us today. Joined alongside Anthony Smith and Austin Ashatino, Bradley Byrne was behind the boards. I'm Alex Diaz, and we'll see you next time. Nosebleeds was a production of WFUV Sports. Mm-hmm.